going to go into a period of a lull as we entered the summer due to a lack of negative headlines, and we're going to be derailing this market, and that's where we stand. So there's optimism abound. If we continue to move in the right direction, Europe is at all-time highs and looks to continue to reopen and have some more capital improvements. So it looks like it's just a general tonality of up, up, and up until we have some kind of negative event, which we really don't see forthcoming over the next coming weeks. So we think that this period of lull continues for the next coming weeks, and probably most likely through summer. Our tumultuous period that we have circled on the calendar is when we get back to September, October. So I think that this is going to be the new normal, at least for right now. But also, if you look across last week, you had extremely low volume. Most people had checked out after a year of working from home and unable to kick off time. And with the economy opening back up and events going on, you did see some people pull away from their trading screens. So I think a little bit of that is occurring as well, which is allowing for prices to steadily appreciate. Now, we've pretty much been trading sideways at the same time for the last coming week, so it's not like we have these explosive move higher. We're just trading in between all-time highs by a few decimal points.
And the other discussion we had was about what's going on in Washington, the infrastructure bill. There's a big difference between the two parties, but it looks like investors believe we're going to have a deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, everything points us in the direction that something will get done. It's just, you know, what's the magic number? You still have Democrats hanging at $4 trillion and Republicans hanging at $600 billion. So, you know, at some point you will meet a middle ground. It's just it's up for debate about what size and scope this package is. Where does the money get allocated to? As we previously just stated, only $300 billion of that total package is for traditional infrastructure. Most of it is in other forms, which is $1.8 trillion in child and family services. So we're going to continue to move forward. They have it on their political agenda. It's just a question of how quickly does something get done and at what size and scope.
And again, we try to avoid the summer slump. The administration wants to keep the momentum. So they will have something passed, right? There's an announcement today also?
Yeah, you're going to have a proposal put forward today by President Biden that he wants to package $100 billion over the next 10 years to go to underinvested businesses and underdeveloped areas. And essentially, it's a way that he's going to address the wealth inequality in this country. So that will be revealed today. But, you know, it's more packages, more agenda items, more political points to continue to push forward. To your point, we're going to run into the congressional period of summer vacation. So it's important that as much of this gets done prior to July 4th. And then on top of that, you have the midterm elections sneaking up. And it's going to be a tug of war for who retains seats and who is going to be running the House and Senate for the remaining 2 years of Biden's term.
That's going to be a very big political fight. You're correct. To go on some company news, we had Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people went to the movies. We have missed the movies for a year. $100 million weekend. Very good, I guess. And the AMC continues to go up and down, being the favor of the traders, the Robin Hood and everybody else.
Yeah, it's just another speculative goo-gag, essentially, another play as GameStop or some of these other, investment ideas that have come about on Reddit and some of these other sites over the last couple of months. I think that if someone is going into that, it's a pure speculative play. It's a company that was, very close to bankruptcy prior to COVID. And I think it's going to be very unclear on how they get out of this. And even their own company is issuing more shares right now to kind of play with this idea of investor sentiment. But they put a pretty, harsh warning on their issuance as well, saying that, you could very easily lose on your investment here based off of when you entered or exited this market. So I think that anyone that is playing AMC or the similar likes of GameStop has to be, prepared that you could lose your shirt in the matter.
Yeah. And Robinhood, the platform, they are going to go public themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're capitalizing on their success.
Everybody's trying to. I think Krispy Kreme just tried to, is going to IPO again. I think that was announced this morning.
Krispy Kreme?
Yep, the donut company.
Back in play? Back in play.
Really? Oh, boy.
Minute. For what reason? Explain that to me. Explain that for the investor why that wouldn't know, like myself. Why would Krispy Kreme?
You de-risk. You're holding all the shares of the company right now.
Yeah.
In an environment where price is at all-time highs,
mm-hmm.
And you think you know that potentially the best days of the company could be now or potentially behind them, you sell shares to the public market to increase your own investments to decrease your investment stake. And bring in more capital into the company for future investment and reallocation.
Yeah, so in very simple terms, you sell a part of the company, 10, 20, 30% of the company is up for sale, and instead of finding one person to buy 20% of the company, you find all these different individual investors that they buy 100, 1,000 shares each one, and at the end of the day, you sell a part of your company.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important to always follow what insiders of companies are doing. So you'll see it all the time where, you know, a significant amount of insiders are selling at a certain price, but also there's times where a significant amount of insiders are buying their own company stock at a particular price. And that can be very insightful about what is, you know, top-line management think of future growth. So it's a pretty really good indicator of, you know, how does its own management see the opportunity and growth rate of the company now and in the future. If insiders are selling, the best days could be, you know, now or behind them. If insiders are buying, they're expecting a run up in their stock price and they want to participate in that.
Very interesting.
We don't have we don't have any earnings, any other company news. I think as far as big sectors, oil looks back in action.
Oil is here to stay. It's going to go higher and higher for the next coming months, as weird as it is to say. I mean, I don't think you can rule out $100 barrel oil. And I'll read you an important thing. So, you know, with the idea of inflation and, you know, oil, if you're a CEO of an oil and gas company, and every single day you're hearing from environmentalist shareholders that they own more than, you know, 0.2% of your stock, you know, you're dealing with Danish quartz, EV producers, there's no way you're notably lifting your oil and gas investment. So right now you have companies that are selling at a very high price per barrel, but also their future investment is lowered due to the, you know, unclear timeline of this industry, you know, and the amount of competitors they're now seeing in different spectrums. They're going to be drilling less and less over the coming years as we continue to use more and more. So oil is probably going significantly higher from where it already is right now. And as we've said for the last year, you know, being invested in these oil companies and gas producing companies has been, you know, where one of the major investment pieces we have, but we feel that all investors should have. And then you could feel very comfortable being there for the next 5 years at a minimum. So that is a thesis that we've played in through and through. And then on top of that, you know, with this whole inflation debate, you just entered, the Atlantic Ocean hurricane season.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's now expected, they've now projected a higher than average year for hurricanes on the Atlantic coast. So could you have some disruptive, you know, storms at a time when gas and oil companies are already having a challenge of moving supply at all-time high at very high prices. So it could get very interesting to see how where the, you know, the oil and gas markets go, not only just now, but over the coming summer months.
Okay, makes sense. So it's going to be you expect the summer is going to be sideways, and obviously
yep.
nobody knows. I mean, unless there's another, you know, a huge event, but the money is that the market is going to be sideways.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to continue to just, you know, it's going to steadily increase. I don't see this massive leg up from here, but, you know, we have a significant amount of accommodation still coming from federal officials, whether it's the Federal Reserve here or other central banks across the world, you know. And on top of that, we have a very high savings ratio. Historically, this country has a savings ratio of $3 trillion. It's $9 trillion right now. So we have a significant amount of cash in banks and different trust companies and whatnot that consumers have essentially stashed away for quite some time, especially given the one-third of income produced by the government last year. So you're going to have more money being thrown around this summer. You're going to have more money being injected by the Fed, and we're going to continue with the reopening of this economy. You know, you had the, you know, you're the Daytona 500 this past week, and it was 135,000 in, you know, in the crowd. So we're going to continue to open up events. There's going to be more airline travel. Airlines are now, you know, I think 26% below where they were in 2019 pre-COVID. So they're advancing, and there's more people flying and traveling. So I think there's going to continue to be more money being pumped into this economy, which will help the recovery and pretty much draw volatility for the, you know, for most of the summer. And then as we get into the latter end of the summer, beginning of fall, latter end of 2021, I think that's when things start to get hairy, because that's when the debate about inflation really comes center stage. It's center stage right now, but we still don't have enough to really draw a conclusion on whether it's transitory or not. I think the numbers we get this month are probably going to be very inflationary. CPI could print 8%. And I think that that could cause real yields to finally move again in an upward basis, which could cause volatility to come back into the market. I think you get the 10-year to go back up to 175, stocks pull back, and that's your next entry point from an equity standpoint to participate in the latter end of the summer. And I think it gets very, very stable from then until we get until October, November.
Okay. Lastly, we got a question from the audience. Someone who is listening just text me a question. He wants me to ask you about the Apple Epic lawsuit impact.
Okay. There hasn't been much of an impact yet. Apple stock continues to go higher. I think it's probably a story that gets resolved over the coming weeks, but to be honest, I don't think it's on investors' minds right now. There's not many people, the street's not even talking about it.
Okay, so we just have to see. It is, I'm doing a quick search. It's on the District Court of California, so I guess unless there is a ruling, we have to worry about it.
Right, exactly. There's nothing there right now.
Well, I'm glad we have an informed audience. Thank you very much for the question.
No doubt. Manny, before we let you go, I just want to close on and ask you a couple of questions. We talked and we spent a lot of time talking about Tesla a couple of weeks ago. I was watching some commercials over the weekend because I was home and it was raining and I watched a lot of TV. But nonetheless, you know, Cadillac, a new electric car, Ford coming out with a car. My question is, first of all, does Tesla have any connection with this, with these other car manufacturers in regards to perhaps patents or anything, or are they completely independent?
Completely independent.
Completely independent.
Right. That's why that's the thesis of Tesla, of saying, you know, for 17 years with no competition, wasn't able to turn a profit. What does that look like now when you have the you know, gigantic car companies of this world, mm-hmm, coming forward with massive amounts of money? An opportunity for investment. You know, how does Tesla's share price line up after they lose significant EV share to these other competitors? They've already lost their EV share in Europe and in Southeast Asia.
Yeah,
so it's been declining steadily. So it's really a question of, you know, are they able to maintain market share in the U.S.? And if so, can they recoup market share in other parts of the world? I think it's going to be incredibly challenging for Tesla. And then that's not... you know, that's not a dart at Elon Musk. Clearly, the guy is a genius in his own regard. He's been able to do things that no one else, you know, conceived of. But at the end of the day, does that mean that his stock should be valued at the combination of three other car producers combined? I don't believe so. And I think that at some point, that valuations matter again and earnings matter again. And if they continue to lose earnings and value and market share to these competitors, then Tesla's stock should depreciate quite a bit. I mean, there's analysts out there that have it, you know, at 140 a share or 146 a share, way significantly lower than we're currently priced at.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. Closing comments, gentlemen?
Summer's here. We're opening. Things are looking up. Everywhere that I saw and talked to for people that celebrated Memorial Day weekend, things were, you know, very robust. There was a great atmosphere out there. There was optimism galore. So let's keep chugging along. I think that the unemployment rate has a chance of declining as we get to, you know, September, and maybe perhaps the schools really opening up, we get more people going back into the labor force, because that's a significant strain on our economy right now. At some point, our growth rate will be depicted by our labor force. And if we can't get people back into, you know, back on factory floors, et cetera, to be able to produce goods and services, then this recovery will become significantly more difficult.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Manny. Thank you, Stamati.
My
Stamati,
pleasure. Thank
also,
you, guys.
I just got confirmation from Leo. Tomorrow's broadcast, and I'll read this to our listening audience once again, we have scheduled maintenance on our radio station transmitter and antenna. So tomorrow's broadcast will be playing music only. At some point, our broadcast signal will be down for a few hours to perform that maintenance. So, Stamati, you and I will regroup, I guess, for the news on Thursday. Manny, no effect to you on this, but just a word to our listening audience.
No problem.
No problem.
Public service announcement.
Brought to you by Manny Frangidakis and 12 Points Wealth Management. Gentlemen, enjoy
Very
the
good.
Day. Enjoy the day, and we'll regroup again soon. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.